having children's church this morning? All righty. Children, be dismissed to church. Not dismissed from church. To church. Hallelujah. Well, I'm thankful for the song and I'm thankful for the testimony. But what anything I wasn't expecting, right? Come on. If we're not going to expect something, then we'll not get any testimonies. If there one comes, we won't hear. Little bird told me. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right, you need to get your Bibles. We're going to study some scripture this morning, all from, believe it or not, pretty much one area, so you won't have to be turning back and forth. Everybody hear me okay? Can you hear me now? Do what? Evidently it needs to be a little hotter, Patrick. Okay. Hallelujah. All right, if you'll turn with me to, let's see, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'm not going to speak so much on that. I'm not going to speak on this morning, but Chuck brought something up to me that I want to just lightly go over. And that is that there's a fine line. When we talked about agapeo love, he was in a little basic contest to get a new house. They were going to give it to somebody else. And he said, look, they're not ready. Give it to me. And his conscience got to bother him a little bit. And he came to me and he said, is that okay? The truth of the matter is that God wants to prefer you over anybody else. That's the true agapeo, preferring you over himself. And agapeo includes always preferring you over the world. If you don't understand that, then you're never going to understand what's going to happen in the world. You cannot understand at all if you've got this old theology that you've got to push people in front of you. That's not agapeo. Pushing God's will in front of yours is agapeo. God's will is that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. You understand me? And I'm telling you that God's will is that His children overcome in all situations. That's agapeo. And for you to deny that is to deny the will of God. Okay? Now that may not be a good explanation, but it's a beginning one. Maybe we'll approach it some other time when we're not going to spend so much time on another subject. Think about it. Maybe God will give you a nugget that we could hear. Let's pray. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. That's why we're here this morning. We're not here to get our conscience clear by attending. We're here to receive life and that more abundantly from you by fulfilling and obeying your word. We love you, Lord. This is your word. These are your people. Put them together. Cause truth reveal. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to begin another statement of faith today. I think I might have snuck one or two in on you. Didn't even announce it, but I'm announcing this one. We're up to about 15 now, in case you want to know. And we'll print them all when I get through, wherever that is. I want to title it, that truth is freedom. Truth is freedom. I'm amazed that in our society, that some of the bondage that we walk in is that we're never to speak truth. some of the bondage that we walk in is that we're not supposed to speak truth. Because we might hurt somebody's feelings. We might cause a little riff. We might cause a little discussion that we can't control. We might get accused. And so we walk in bondage. You've heard me say it before. You heard God say it through me. The truth will set you free. So, truth is freedom. We're going to study a little bit about what truth is, who it is, what it's for, what it accomplishes. But today we're going to read the 8th chapter of John. I'm going to read the old chapter. Unfortunately, I might say that that may be more Bible reading than some of you have done in a month. But that's okay. We're going to read the whole chapter today. Believe it or not, the whole chapter. So if you're taking notes, we're going to do the alphabet. I'm going to cover from A to Z. So just put A there so you'll know. And I'm going to have a point for every one of them. All right, A to Z, we're going to cover it. John chapter 8. We're going to begin with verse 2. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple. If you don't mind, I'll interrupt the scripture with a little narrative once in a while. But you notice he didn't say he came to the temple. He said he came again to the temple. The reason that's put in there is because Jesus was in the temple often. You guys think you have it rough when you've got to come once a week. Jesus was in the temple every day. Every day he was in the temple. And he thought that not be a drudgery. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple. Now if Jesus had to go to the temple, how about you? Come on, if Jesus, the Word, the truth, had to go to the temple, how about you? Okay. And all of the people came to him. Not the saints, but the saints and the sinners all came to him. Why? Because he's truth. All came to him. And he sat down and taught them. I find it interesting that in this chapter, you're going to see that his enemies came and he taught them also. So when you come to the temple, the goal is to be taught. Not to be told about your spiritual condition. That's the Holy Spirit's job. You understand? And if not, I'm going to... Should I do that? Nah, okay, let's keep moving. So in A, you're going to write truth searches for truth. Jesus showed up at the temple. He was the truth. But in his life, he was searching for truth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus was searching for truth? Always. He said, I don't say anything unless the Father's told me that I've learned it, that I've lived it, that I've seen it. And you'll see that all of those words in this chapter. For B, you're going to see that truth draws people, and by the way, all people. As we look in this chapter, remember this. That saints and sinners, friends and enemies were drawn to truth. One of the things that God's really laying on my heart started not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, is how the truth treats people. Not how people treat the truth. The truth is going to cause an effect in every person that's alive. If they're allowed to hear it. If they're not allowed to hear it, they'll go to hell. Y'all believe that? Come on, I'm going to say some real hard black and white statement. I'm going to make it real simple. Just not going to give you a lot of options. I'm just going to put them out there. Of course, you need to agree with them, of course. Truth draws people, all people. And C, truth teaches people. In other words, you're going to learn something if truth is spoken. You may not like it. You may reject it. You may run from it. You might even disagree with it. But you may do it verbally, but in your heart, it's going to do something. Third verse. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Now, why would they bring her to him? They were the law. Why didn't they bring it to Jesus for? And when they had set her in the midst They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act of adultery." Now Moses, in the law, they're speaking to Jesus still. You notice they didn't say Moses in the truth. They says Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Can I tell you something? When you begin to speak the truth, people are going to start asking you, what do you say about it? Even though they may know in their hearts they're not going to like what you say. All of the world wants truth, even if the motive is wrong. The Pharisees came seeking truth, and their motive was wrong. He didn't say your motive is wrong. He just spoke the truth. So in D, truth reveals love. For those of you that are really seeking the face of God, seeking truth, what will be revealed to you is how wrong the law is. You know why? The Bible says the law kills. It's death. And so the first thing that's going to be revealed to you when you walk into a church or when you walk into a situation in someone's home, you're going to be able to see law because it's death. And truth is going to kill law. How do I know that? Because I've read the whole story here. I know what's going to happen. E, truth will be challenged by those who believe law or science. How many even know that most of science that we know are theories and they've become law? How come theories have become law? Because the creator of theories is death. You know the truth. Everything else is a theory against truth. The theory of evolution is a direct attack against your knowledge of the truth. Be very careful. Nothing ever supersedes truth. Not your sight, not your hearing, not your touch, not your feelings, not your emotions. Nothing ever supersedes truth. Come on, y'all can say amen once in a while, even if you don't like it. Say, so be it, even if it's not true in your life. Amen means so be it. F, the challenge of the truth will require a stand from you. If truth comes, you're going to have to choose you this day, truth or death, blessings or curses. Verse 6. This they said, testing him. They said, what do you say? Remember? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. In other words, their hearts are being revealed. Listen, when you know if something is a truth, and you see a trap set, don't be afraid of the trap. Run into it. Be like Jesus. He knew they were setting a trap. He didn't care because he wasn't afraid. Truth will set them free. If you know that, then what are you afraid of a trap? But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. Did you ever try to talk to somebody and have them ignore you? Now who's setting the trap? Jesus, truth will make you smart. It'll make you smart in how to handle a situation. He saw it. He started doodling on the ground. All right. G. Truth will bring false accusations. I'll guarantee you this. If you decide to make your life based on truth, it's going to irritate some people and they're going to accuse you of a lot of things. I one time taught in this church that God wants to call you a son of God. I gave kind of a Greek-based theory on that, and the story went out that I called myself the Messiah. Didn't even come close. But truth irritated some. It'll irritate Christians. It'll irritate enemies. You want a heart check right quick? How many of you got real excited for Richard when he talked about a little success? Or was there a little tinge of jealousy? I'll just leave it out there. Okay. H. To hear truth, you must not listen to anything but God. Remember I said, but Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. And I put a little in parentheses, them. He wasn't listening to them. He didn't. Let me tell you, here's a good way to think. If you're accusing, if you're talking negative, if you're talking anything but the truth, the best thing I can do is stoop and doodle. Or whatever it takes for me to let you know that I'm not listening. I was with a group of guys this last week, and man, all of these excuses and moaning and complaining started coming out. And I just got up and I said, hey man, there's way too much piss and moaning going on here. I got to go. And I walked out the door. Now, it really wasn't that bad. But how bad does it have to get before you need to make a point? This is not accomplishing anything. You know, if you want things to go right, it's all right to critique. Means this is the mistakes that I made and I won't do them again. That's critiquing. But moaning is not critiquing. Verse 7. He didn't answer. So they continued asking him. He raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Now, do you think that Jesus was so smart he got that in here? Or do you think while he was down there doodling, God told him, tell him this? Jesus knew what he was doing. He needed an answer. So he didn't go within his deep wealth of knowledge. He went into God's deep wealth of knowledge. You will hear truth when you seek truth. You will hear truth when you seek truth. Now let me give you a little bit of warning. This could be hazardous to your health. And it could be hazardous to the health of those around you. Why? What is truth for? To change. That's what it's for. How many of you just really love change? With all that's within you, your flesh does not like change. You might as well be honest. It does not like change. But see, that's why you have dominion over your flesh. You're to stoop and doodle and tell your flesh, you're stupid, shut up. Come on, everybody in here, you've got to know that your flesh is not real bright. If you think your flesh is bright, you probably don't have any need of God. Jesus, without sin, stooped and asked God for truth. Those that seek truth will get truth. J, you are required to speak when God has spoken to you. Now there's the catch. Another catch. If you ask for truth, do you think that Jesus was going to make those guys real happy by saying what he said? You know why? Because it put them on such a spot that no matter what they did, they were embarrassed. If they would have thrown the stone, everybody knew that they were a liar. And if they didn't throw the stone, everybody knew that they were a sinner. So they got out. They snuck out. One at a time. saying, I won't watch you if you don't watch me. When you ask for truth, it is not just for you, and God will not give it just to you. He will expect you to pass that on. Verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience. Now what does truth do? Truth reveals. Truth drives out darkness. But first it pinpoints it. It hurts, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. Beginning with the oldest. They knew when to get faster than young ones did, didn't they? And Jesus was left alone. And the woman with the woman standing in the midst. You want your enemies to flee? You got to speak some truth. Well, how's that going to? Well, it'll do one or two things. It'll cause them to be your friends, or you don't have to worry about it anymore. That's what truth is always going to do. Just like she talked about the sword. It will divide. It will divide. Verse 10. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. Something has been revealed to her. How do you know that? She called him Lord. Truth has already done a work in her, not just in those that were accusing. She called him Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now that's a truth for life. Now listen, how many of you want to be like Christ? All right, would you please put this in indelible ink in your mind, in your hearts? When somebody comes to you and says, I know I've done you wrong, lied about you, cheated, I've done everything in the world to destroy you, you smile at them, or don't smile at them. It don't make a difference. It didn't say Jesus smiled. You say, okay, let's forget it. But don't you do it again. You just get your little finger out, follow the Christ, and say, and don't you do it again. And you let the truth settle. Don't you threaten. You ain't got no weapons. Jesus said, go and sin no more. How's he going to enforce that? He's not going to enforce it. The truth is going to be, I'm going to tell you what he did. He put something in her, inside of her, that'll be there forever. You've been forgiven, but don't do it again. So K, truth is salvation. Here's your vitamin K. Truth is salvation. The only salvation for you, the only salvation for others. It must be spoken. When Jesus wanted to change the, I mean, when God wanted to change the earth, he didn't think, let there be. He said, let there be. If he hadn't have said it, it would have still been just exactly like it was or is would have been then. It would have been just the same. It never changed. So those of you that are tippy-toeing around somebody doing wrong, get your mouth open. I thought you want to be like Christ. Then get your mouth open. Don't stand for what's wrong, and you know it's what's wrong. If you know it's wrong and you don't say it, you're taking part in their sin. Well, you sound like you want us to be judgmental. Uh-uh. No, you stoop and doodle first. But when you know that their life depends on what they're doing, then let me tell you something else. Their life depends on what you're knowing. You need to speak it. Not one of you would think one second if a little kid was running across the driveway, you knew that to be dangerously wrong, you would say or do something. And then you'll be quiet when it comes to eternity. Well, that's just sin. Uh-uh. No, sir. One of the things that the old guys knew right here is that they better get out of town because they haven't been doing what they're supposed to be doing. And the next rocket will be fired at them. If I stick around here, I feel some truth coming on, and I don't think I want to hear that, so I'm going to get out of here. What can it cost me? What can truth cost you? Oh, friends, family, job, just little things. Well, what do I get out of it? Well, didn't sound like a agapeo question to me. Is it all about you and what you get out of it? We'll deal with that some other time. I guarantee you truth is profitable. One thing it'll do is cause you to sleep like a baby at night. Truth is salvation. The only salvation for you and others. It must be spoken. Verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Now come on. What if you ask me a question? I give you this profound answer. And then I turn around and say, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of truth. L. Truth doesn't stop when you want it to stop. The more you get, the more you get. I didn't say the more you want. I said the more you get, the more you get. They asked for an answer from Jesus. And then they couldn't get him to shut up. Come on. I'll tell you what, the guys that snuck off, they didn't go too far. How do I know that? Because he's still talking. And they're still listening. Let me give you something here before I read some more. There's something about truth that we don't understand. It's a seed also. It doesn't always create instant change. It's just like any seed planted. Truth will bring forth a harvest unless it's ripped up by the roots. Unless somebody denies the truth. Or somebody blasphemes and calls the truth the devil. You hear me? So here's what you got to be confident in. Is that when God gives you something to say, and you say it, there will be a harvest. Even if somebody sneaks off. I don't want to hear any more. Even if you never see the lady again. The lady caught in adultery? There's no place that Jesus that says that Jesus saw her again. But see, our job is not to dog them. It's to plant in them. It's not to make the seed grow. It's to make sure the seed is there. And God will require of you when He gives you seed and you're not a good steward and you don't plant it. Right? He gives you a talent. He gives you a word. He gives you a jewel and you don't share it. Verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said to Him, you bear witness of yourself. What's this? Who do you think you are? Got the big head. There's something wrong with you. So, as righteous judges, as sinners, righteous judges, we're going to say that your witness is false. It's not true. They're calling the truth not true. 14. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. Now come on, what I want you to get here is how ornery Jesus is. Or maybe say it a better way, how ornery the truth is. Remember, I've always told you, you don't like this, but if God finds a sore, He's going to pick it. He's going, if you've got a sore spot, if Connie says, I'm sore right here, God will say, oh, really? Oh, really? How sore? Why? Because he knows that's what you need. Not because he has fun at it. He has fun giving truth, by the way. One of the things that we miss in the Godhead is how much fun truth is. He has absolute joy when he walks up to you. Remember I said last week the finger? You're a dirty, rotten sinner. And it gives him great pleasure. You know why? Because he knows the harvest. This is not an opportunity to cut somebody down. It's an opportunity for a harvest to come in their life that totally changes them. So he just has a big smile on his face. Well, what about those that don't receive it? He still has a big smile on his face. Because the sword is dividing those that can be helped from those that can't. And who wants to waste their time on somebody that can't be helped? And you may not like that side of God, but I didn't invent hell. I didn't create hell. He did that. Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I come from, I know where I came from, and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. Now listen, if I said that to you today, would you completely understand what I just said? I told you, they got him going. And they can't shut him up. So he's got what he called kind of a captive audience, so he's going to just keep hitting them. How does Jesus hit us sometimes? By saying something we don't understand. If I want your attention, I just need to say something a little strange and you'll go, what? Come on, I do it to you all the time, you know that. Might as well, we'll both admit it and get along better. But what we do is we just do something or say something strange and we go, what'd you just say? Jesus is at them here. He's getting them with truth. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. How would you feel about that statement if I just said to you, if you've not ever sinned, you cast the first stone? Would you admit to me that I wasn't judging? He wasn't. That's right. The truth did its work. It went in there and went zap. And what was revealed? The sins that had been done. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. You hear what he's saying? They don't believe that anybody can judge except them. They know his father, they know his mother, but he says, you don't know where I came from. If I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. What? I don't see Joseph around here. And wait a minute, you said I'm with the Father who sent me. They're going to say, had made too many martinis. Verse 17, it is also written in your law, my word, he's speaking something they don't understand and now he's going to quote their law to them. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I just hear one man talking. What are you talking about? Two. We don't agree with you. 18. I am one who bears witness of myself. He is picking a fight. I am here to bear witness of myself. And the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Oh, man. Then they said to him, where's your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. Whack. With a big board, with a nail in it, whack. If you had known me, you'd have known my father also. him. If it does not challenge, it is not truth. If it does not make you kick your head a little bit to one side, it's not worth listening to. Truth is to change you and the people around you. To do that, the only way that you can have change is to look at something that you don't like and say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to think that way anymore. Even if it's not doing something. You know, I think God has just as hard a time with us about things that we don't do as the things we do. Verse 20. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury. Woo! He hit them right in their pocketbook. As he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Jesus was so goofy. He had the gall to believe that as he spoke something that God gave him, nobody could hurt him. Did you say you were like Christ? You sure? Are you still saying that? Come on, I want to make you bold here. I want you to make you bold in the truth, not bold on your own. In. Truth is protection. Truth is deliverance for you and for others. Now there's two ways, there's two sides of this. Jesus challenged them to a knockdown, drag out fight. I mean, he irritated them so bad they figured they had the right to kill him. But nobody touched him. Why? See, here's the cool part. Truth will protect you from them. And true truth will protect them from you. See, if we're operating in truth, we know when it's not time to kill. They don't know it, but we do. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you something. If you walk in the power of God, you have the ability to kill anytime you want. Y'all don't like that one. I can see that right now. You don't understand the power that you have. You just don't understand. Jesus was letting a little bit revealed here. He's letting a little bit seep out. Just enough to make them good and mad enough to kill him. But he was not letting enough out to kill them. Are you hearing me? He could have said, do you know what he could have said? It says at one point he could have called 10,000 angels, a legion of angels. Now if he could have done it then, could he do it now? Could he have done it before then? So what I'm trying to tell you is when you begin to understand truth, you know when not to bind and you know when to bind. You know when not to curse and you know when to curse. You know when not to lose and when to lose. So truth protects both sides. Truth also protects a sinner from eternal death by planting that seed that can bring forth a harvest. It can help a saint by saying to a saint, if you continue on that road, it'll lead to destruction. That would include children, all family, and all enemies. Sometimes it's hard to figure the difference. But truth will help. 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me. What if I left out here this morning and said, you will seek me? Come on, what I'm trying to do is put you in the room with you as you listen to this and see how you would accept it. You will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Oh, truth brings revelation that we are always faced with life and death. Can I tell you what truth does to a parent with little children? Those little cute children that can never do anything wrong. I just love them to death. Truth will teach that parent that if this action continues, it will lead to death. So therefore, I take preventative measures called chastisement right here because I never want that child to end up dead, spiritually or physically. To a friend, to a relative, it causes them to say, that can't be in your life. That just can't be. Don't you know this where this is going to lead you? Truth sees all directions. It doesn't see for the moment. And it doesn't allow the moment to control the truth. In our society today, we allow the moment to curb the truth. We look at what will happen this moment. You understand what I'm saying? If I say that to a person, they may get mad at me. Well, ta-ta. If you don't, they may be mad at you for eternity. You choose which is better. Truth brings revelation that we always, in everything, face with life and death. Verse 22. So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself because he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" And he said to them, "You are from beneath." Now come on, you're in the room. What would you think if I spoke to somebody and said, "You're from beneath"? "And I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world." We'd be a whole lot better off if none of us were of this world. If we'd stoop and doodle enough to get out of this world. So here, letter P. Truth always reveals a world beyond our sight. If you're seeking for truth, you're going to be taken into a different realm than the normal. You're going to see things different, you're going to hear them different, and you will respond different. That's why you are to be called peculiar. Nobody understands what you're talking about. And it's not important that they understand. Jesus showed right here, it's not important for people to understand. You speak the truth even if they don't understand. You let that thing come forth in a harvest. Verse 24. "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He." He who? That's what the world says. He who? What are you talking about, "I am He"? If you don't believe that, you will die in your sins. Then they said to Him, "Who are you?" Who's this He character? I'm trying to understand you, but you said, "I am He." And Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning." Beginning of what? Now, can I tell you something about truth? It's always the same. From the beginning to the end. It never changes. Truth does not meet a circumstance. Truth does not meet a challenge. Truth does not come to the rescue. Truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're not supposed to steal, you're not supposed to steal. If you're not supposed to lie, under any and all circumstances, you are not supposed to lie. If you're not to commit adultery, under any and all circumstances, no adultery. Oh, come on. Let's flex a little bit. Haven't you woken up in a new society? You were born in the... Yep, I was born in the truth. I guess I'll die in the truth. Which means everything in between has to be in the truth. Right? I had somebody tell me recently. They said, "Well, this living together stuff, it seems like that those that live together when they finally get married, their marriages last longer than those that don't. I said, are you kidding me? I said, why don't we just go back a couple of generations when there was no such animal? Nothing like that allowed. You compare the divorce statistics then and now and see if what you said is true. What does truth do? It challenges false truth. Because you're not going to change the truth. You're going to attack false truth. Or you're supposed to do that. I'm afraid God has a bunch of weak-kneed children right now because they don't attack anything. But you attack false truth. Just like Jesus is doing here. He's talking to a bunch of guys that think they know everything. One place it calls them Jews. They think they're the chosen people. Another one's the Sadducees and Pharisees. They do know the Word better than anybody else. But they don't know the truth. And he's attacking these people. All they did was bring a woman caught in adultery. What are you doing here? Q. Only those interested in truth will hear truth. Only those interested in truth will hear truth. Now let me just give you a little PS on that one. Self-preservation or self-protection blocks and kills truth. If you're interested in your comfort, if you're interested in your lifestyle, if you're interested in the way you think over truth, you will never hear truth. It will never get in. You have to have that chink in your armor that believes that you're not quite yet perfect. You think that's silly for me to say that. Oh, please. I got some truth in me. I happen to know that's the main thing God deals with is our perfection. I'll guarantee you, you give me about 5 minutes and I'll pick a fight with every one of you. Every one of you where you're defending your stand. Why do you need a stand? Stoop and doodle. Don't even think about it. Jesus never even thought when he was posed with the situation. He just bent down there and began to listen for an answer. He didn't defend himself. He didn't say, what are you bringing that to me for? You know good and well adultery is wrong. Handle it. He didn't say that. God had a higher purpose in the situation. One, save the lady. Get her out of adultery. Tell her don't sin anymore. Two, put the spotlight on where the real crud was. Well, there's no higher crud than adultery. Evidently, Jesus thought so. Can I tell you what the real difference is? The body says that adultery is a sin against your own flesh. It's just you that's getting hurt. But when you're out preaching false truth, you're hurting other people. So Jesus says, we got to deal with this. She'll pay for what she's doing. You ain't paying yet, and we're starting it. We're starting it now. We're going to reveal some things. Verse 26. I have many things to say and to judge. See, he wouldn't leave well enough alone. He wouldn't say, I have many things to say. He said, I have many things to say and judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Now, if you said that to me, what you're saying to me is you don't hear from God and I do. All right. Vice versa. If you're saying it to me. That's what I'm hearing. You hear from God and I don't. You stop talking to me that way. Who do you think you are? R. Truth is only what comes from God. Truth is only what comes from God. Only truth comes from God. God only is truth. God only has truth. Nobody else has any truth. God only has truth. The only way you're going to get it is by hearing Him, residing with and in Him, seeing Him and pleasing Him. I'll show you that in some scriptures coming. You're not going to get truth because you're pretty. You're not going to get truth because... Can I step on your toes just as... I will, just because Jesus does that. You don't get truth just because you're the only begotten Son and never committed a sin. I've been reading to you that he was in the temple daily, that he sought God, that he went out. You know Jesus' life. He prayed all the time. What do you think he's praying for? His sin nature? Baloney. He didn't have any. He was, everything that he did, he was seeking God for truth. That's why he was the truth. Not because he was born the truth. If he was born the truth, he wouldn't be seeking God for the truth. Now, where does that put us? Where does that put you and I? If Jesus had to seek for the truth, do you have to? Are you just born with it? You're so smart. You've been in church so long. Man, I've been a Christian for 143 years. Yeah, and you've been in pride 142 of them. Now get on stoop and doodle and see what God says to you. Verse 27. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He." My, what a statement. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you'll know it's me. Where are you in your praise and worship? Now, he's talking about a different lifting up, but let's just stay on this. Where are you in lifting up Jesus in your praise and worship? I'm telling you, if you don't get into praise and worship, you'll never know Christ. Not going to know it. How do I know that? Well, since we don't have children here, the reason is because you can't know anybody unless you get it on with them. That's the way it is. And praise and worship is the act, is the mirror image of the sexual act in the flesh. You want to exchange ideas? You want to exchange? You want to create some life? Get it on in praise and worship and see what happens. I guarantee you're going to get some life in you. You're going to get some truth. Y'all don't... What are y'all blushing for? Goodness, y'all too old for that. I'm telling you that God wants, and Jesus wants an intimate relationship. He seeks intimacy. And until we seek Him in intimacy, we're not going to know that it's He. You won't know this either, that He doesn't do anything of Himself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Jesus, the one you guys think was from everlasting to everlasting and won't admit that He was a man on earth, says, as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Jesus knelt and got truth. Why? Because He needed it. He didn't have it all yet. He needed some more. Y'all want to fight? I bet you I got more scripture than you do dealing with this little area. I'm telling you, Jesus was a man, and He was quite a man. He was the Son of God, but He was the Son of Man. Just like you. You are the Son of God and the Son of Man. Just like Jesus, if you need to have some knowledge, you better not go into your little storage. You better get into God's. You're going to come out with some nuggets. It's going to change you. It's going to change some people. And I'm telling you, truth gives you wisdom. It gives you understanding. Now, Jesus was taught, verse 29, by the way, do you know that experience doesn't come from experience? Man, I wish we could take this out of people's heads. You're not smart because of your experience. You just got lots of mileage. If you want to get smart, you get into the experience of God. Because He's from everlasting to everlasting. And when He speaks from truth, He speaks from at least 6,000 years of experience. You just got a few days. I don't care how old you are. It's just a matter of a few days. So you want to talk like a man that's got a lot of experience? Tap into the one that's got it. Speak from experience. You know how you really learn something? Experience. You can't learn by teaching. I'm telling you, somebody can tell you that there's something hot until the world looks level. But I'm telling you, when you look at a fire, it's so beautiful. And you're not going to really get away from that thing until you touch it one time. You hear me? But what if, and this is the truth, did you know that God does not want you to touch the fire? And so that He can right here and right here, He can give you an experience without the touch. He can give you the working knowledge without the touch. He can tell you, don't touch the fire, and there's something more than don't touch the fire. It's a convincing in you that's nearly like you've already touched it, and you won't do it. We need to teach our children. We need to teach ourselves first, but our children that. You don't have to... Does anybody here want to die? Why not? You haven't done it yet. Looks like you'd want to do it at least once, but you haven't done it. But that's a theology we have. Oh man, here's a little marijuana. Why don't you just toke on it? Well, you haven't done it yet. You don't know what it's like until you really do it. No, I haven't died yet either. I'm not going to do that either. Come on. If you want some smart answers, you ask the smarty one. You ask the smart one. I told somebody, I don't know, a few months ago, I said, I've never smoked anything in my life. I've never taken one drag of anything. That's what their response was. Yeah. You want me to believe that? You know what? I don't care what you believe. I don't really care what you believe. It don't change the facts. And why would I tell you that? If it wasn't the truth, why wouldn't I tell you that? Well, you think I'm supposed to build myself up? I don't need to build myself up in front of you. Come on, where's this coming from? Let's get the mind of Christ. God doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. Did you know that? He don't have to prove anything. And if you have His mind, why would you set out to prove anything to anybody? Truth is not, in some cases, is not just for you. It's for them. That's why you're speaking it. When I was a little boy, I just heard that my grandfather said about beer. They can just pour it back in a mule as far as I'm concerned. Ooh. I just had an experience. And by the way, it was a lifelong experience. There was some truth spoken. Truth spoken. And it put a lifelong experience in me. Therefore, I've never tasted beer. Well, you don't know what you're missing. Uh-huh. You can pour it back in the mule as far as I'm concerned. That's what I'm missing. Amen. You're not to determine what is spoken is truth that will change people. You just speak it. Well, your granddad was as honorary as you. Thank you. That's okay. They didn't understand that He spoke. Verse 29. And He who sent me is with me. He who sent me is with me. See, that doesn't even make sense to your mind. But you've got to be taken beyond your mind. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. What is that? Jesus is telling you that He could have done some things that didn't please the Father. How about you? Well, how in the world are you going to know what those things are if you don't ask Him? If you don't get in there close to Him and say, you know, I just want you to tell me what you don't like. I want to make sure I don't do them. He'll know whether you're telling the truth or not. As He spoke these words, listen to this. As He spoke these words, many believed Him. Now, I want to ask you something. I've tried to make that as unclear as I can, nearly like Jesus did. Do you understand that the things He said, they just confused, they challenged, they insulted? Just about everything that He could have done wrong in a speech class, He did right here. And the Word says, as He spoke, they believed Him. Now come on. You're missing this here. If you listen to what this says, it will not be on you on how you speak. It won't even be on your politeness or will you brush your teeth this morning or not. It'll have nothing to do with any of this. It'll not be on how much Scripture that you quote. It'll be, is it truth from God? And as you speak, they will believe you. S. Truth causes belief or faith in truth. You know what faith is? It's knowing the outcome. It's that simple. Faith is already knowing the outcome. If you have faith in what I'm telling you this morning, you already know the outcome. If you have faith that when you ask God for a truth and you speak it, there will be a positive thing happen, then your faith is increased in the truth, in yourself. Why is faith increased in you? Because I just took the load of accuracy off of you, of pretty, of acceptable, of PhD at the end of your name. You don't have to have it. By the way, Jesus didn't have it. In fact, if you want to know the truth, you'll never find a word in here where it says he went to school, period. We need to say that next time we get a theological seminary student here. 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. Jesus said to those unbelievers who believed him. That's what it's saying. Jews believed in God the Father. They just didn't believe in Jesus. They would not hear of it. But some listened and some believed. If you abide in my word, abide, a place of residence, comfort, safety, familiarity, intimacy. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, I thought it was stoop and doodle. Well, I guess what we're being told here is all the stoop and doodle in the world is not going to do you any good unless you're abiding in the word. I got another little piece of the puzzle here, guys. You want some smarts? Comes from the word. You want to know how to apply it? Ask God. If you want truth, look in the Word. If you want to know how to apply it, how to speak it, ask God. T. Truth only gives freedom and peace. Nothing else can make you free. The truth was in front of them. Listen, our first step. Please don't think that the only help is to Bible students. The Jews were Bible students. But they worked as law. And so they didn't even understand what they read. They might as well have been reading in another language. They did not understand what they read. But the truth applied. Jesus Christ walking up and saying what he said. And I have to be honest with you, I don't see much coherency in this speech. Listen to me carefully. If I were a sinner, I couldn't understand a word this man just said. But let me tell you what the truth does. The truth gives clarity. And it didn't make any difference. Listen, Christians, it don't make any difference what you say. If you've consulted with God first, you can babble. And somebody's going to get touched. Somebody's going to get touched. Now, there's no better way to understand that than you stand up here and preach for a while. And then you listen to what people said you said. And you'll understand what I'm saying to you right now. You shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. T. Truth only gives peace and freedom. Nothing else can make you free. Verse 33. They answered him. Now listen. How many of you know that we're not exactly perfect the minute we're saved? Okay. They just believed on him. Then they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants. And have never been in bondage to anyone." We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Let me tell you something. The law or the covenant cannot make you free. Believing you're free will not make you free. So you, the letter U, truth reveals sin. What is sin? Disobedience. I'm going to go one step further. Sin is a disobedience to a known law of God. A known law. Truth reveals sin as slavery. Why? So that we get a revelation of true freedom. Why does the Holy Spirit come? Why does truth come and hurt so bad when it touches? Well, God just gets joy out of pain. Because that in itself gives you a revelation of true freedom. God never shows you your sin to make you miserable. He shows it to you so that you know what freedom could be. God never chastises because He likes to whoop. He chastises because He's trying to introduce you to true freedom. Verse 35. 34 says, "Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." 35, "And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you." Okay, now what did Jesus just say? What did He just say? Remember I told you a while ago, if you want truth, you're going to get it. Those that listen hear truth. I'm also telling you now that those that don't listen don't hear truth. You know what always amazes, I won't mention any names in here, but what always amazes me is how some of you are oblivious to what goes on around you. Absolutely oblivious. If you get your eye on one thing, one conversation, one direction, the world could fall in and you wouldn't know it. You don't have a consciousness of what time it is. If I'm having fun, I'm having fun. Who cares about time? Well, other people do. Do you care about other people? If we have a church service that starts at 11 o'clock, what are you doing at talking at 11:01? Do you not care about other people? Do you forget what you showed up here for? If Jesus were here, He promised to be here, would you keep talking when you knew He was here? Then what are you doing still talking? What are you doing showing up late? Would you show up late if Jesus was here? If you're talking to two people, and there's a lot of two people I could point at right now, if the two people talking in here and Jesus said, how long should you keep talking? I got another one for you. If two people are talking and you don't hear anything else that goes around you, how in the world will you ever be a minister? What if Jesus would have been busy talking to somebody when this situation arose? There would have been multiple lives that would have never been touched. What are you ranting and raving about now, Stan? I'm telling you, you ought to listen more than talk. And when you are talking, your listening should be more important than your talking. Boy, it got quiet. I don't know what just happened. A vacuum formed. My word has no place in you. When you... All right, let me approach it from another direction since y'all didn't like that one. you should consider when somebody speaks. You should consider. How long you consider is how much truth is in it. What you should consider, is it truth or not? What is the result? How to respond to what was said. See, it said that as if Jesus did not hear. It didn't say he did not hear. It says as if he did not listen. You should hear everything that's around you. Everything. Because there may be an opportunity God is calling you towards. And if what you're doing is so important, then they can go to blazes. That's what's going to happen. Abide. This is not true, so I'm free to say it. Bill, that's the ugliest tie I've ever seen in my life. Flesh reaction. Who do you think you are? Good reaction. Now I make a decision on it. Doesn't have to be that he never wears it again. Or he could never wear it again. Do you see what I'm saying? If you instantly say you're a fool, the word has no place in you. And too many Christians, they'll reject truth because they've never heard it that way before. So there's no place. All right, let's move on. We'll never get finished here. The conclusion of that is that truth must reside in you to be truth. I'm having a hard time getting away, so I'm going to say one more thing. Do you think that these people forgot this truth? Just because they never heard it again? Or do you think it resided and changed their lives forever? Now I'll ask you another one. Do you think Jesus forgot it? Or do you think it resided in Him forever? See, the cool part about truth is it changes your life and somebody else's too. If you allow it to reside. In other words, you walk with that truth all the days of your life. All the days of your life. From then that point forward, that truth has gotten in you and you're not going to let it loose. 38. I speak what I have seen with my Father. I speak what I have seen with my Father. And you do what you have seen with your Father. How many things have y'all seen with your Heavenly Father? Come on, if I ask for a bunch of testimonies right now, what you have seen with God the Father, what would you tell me? You prayed and answered and saw. What'd you see? I speak what I have seen with my Father. When's the last time that you yielded to someone's call? Because when you talked to God, He showed you the call. When did we stop teaching that when a man or a woman wants a spouse, they can go to the Father and He can show them the spouse? When's the last time you needed a good deal? You went to the Father and God showed you exactly where to go to get it. Verse 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You know what the problem is here? They didn't know who their father was. What do you mean by that, Stan? They never met Abraham. They never walked with Abraham, but all of them claimed him. But what's the difference between that and Christianity? You have the opportunity to claim Him and know Him. V. Truth forces the change of lineage. Jesus wasn't after their lineage. He just wanted them to get rid of it. Truth forces the change of lineage, family, friends, interests, and actions. No, Stan. I can get saved and everything can stay the same. All right, whatever. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, not from Abraham. Abraham did not do this. Now he's going to knock around Abraham. Abraham didn't do what I'm doing for you. Did Abraham ever seek God? Yes, he did. Did he ever speak the truth? Yes, he did. But he didn't speak the truth to them. And Jesus is saying, Abraham is old hat. He's dead. He's gone. He can't do that for you anymore. You need a new father. Verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Whoa! Who said that Abraham was a sinner? Come on, are you all watching the Scripture close? You reading with me? Do you know what it says? Why did they say we were not born of fornication when they were talking about being born of Abraham? You know what Jesus did? What the truth did? He caused them to drop their eyes off of the law, off of their idol Abraham. And the minute they did that, they realized they were in sin. Remember what I told you truth reveals? Whatever you believed in times past, your belief is going to change when you ask God. Abraham was not a sinner. But they looked at their lives. Truth reveals. It turns a light on them. They say, oops, there's sin. It says, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Well, a while ago they said they had one father, Abraham. They are confused. You realize that, don't you? They are confused. Jesus said, I don't know why, after the way he's talking, I don't know why they'd be confused. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. I made a little note here. It says, truth will make you go where you refuse to go. Truth will make you go where you refuse to go. 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Your heart determines your hearing. 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Stand in the truth requires a stand, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. When you speak from your own resources, you speak a lie. I'll just turn it your direction, my direction. When we speak from our resources, we speak a lie. And the devil is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. W, we're close. Truth forces the choosing of sides. I'm sorry to tell you this. In our society today, where we're never supposed to choose sides. Truth forces you to choose a side. Your way or God's way. That simple. Well, how do I know the difference? Well, you know what you want. Shut up and ask what God wants. And more than likely, it's going to be a little different than what you want. That's simple. Well, that's an insult. No, it isn't. Ask Him and find out if it's not freedom. Ask Him. W, truth forces the choosing of sides and then forces the standing on the truth. R, standing on a lie. And a while ago, you don't stand in the truth or on the truth. It forces you to make a decision about truth, and then it forces you to make a stand on that. And it's only your life that depends on it, or somebody else's. 46, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Now this... This is typical. This is typical. The truth will pin, and either one of two things happen. We go in another direction, or the accusation comes to you. Can I just tell you, this is what's going to happen, and you have to be smart enough by the mind of Christ to know this. It's kind of like in sales. The one thing you know about sales is you don't let people change the subject very long. Right? Or you're not, you're going to lose the sale. If you went there to sell a car and they lead you back to 1943 when they owned a 1943 whatever, then you just lost the sale. Or you let them go just a little bit and then you drag them right back here into 2002. Right? All right, here's what they did. Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Why would they put it that way? Because they are the elite of the elite. And you can't call them a liar. That's why they said it this way. They are the elite of the elite. And you can't challenge their knowledge. X. Truth reveals sin's stupidity. Would you let me use that? Truth reveals sin's stupidity. The more truth you have from God, the more you understand how stupid sin is and how stupid it makes people. So you don't go around talking about that. You still go around asking God, God, I need some truth for these stupid sinners. Now please don't, we're not going to go around calling people stupid because they sin. I'm just saying you know it's stupid. You know that sin is stupid, right? Come on, you can be bold. It's a legal word. Stupid is not, you know that sin is stupid, right? All right. Well, that's, you're not playing with me here. Truth reveals sin's stupidity, at least to the ones that hear the truth. Verse 49. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Boom! And I do not seek my own glory. Why did he say that? Because they knew they were seeking theirs. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Now this man that's trying to get to these people just told them, I'll never die. And if you don't believe in me, you never will either. Come on, you've heard it before. They had not heard it before. Why? Truth comes against all reason. Truth comes against all reason. Why do you think it's so hard to work and act and walk in faith? Because it comes against your reason. This is the first time you ever heard this. If I walked up to you, first time you've ever heard this, and tell you that you could live and never see death, would it come against your reason? Why? Because I've seen many people die. Tell me you're not going to. What are you talking about? Even my father Abraham died. And we don't know anybody better than my father Abraham. Truth comes against all reason. Truth becomes our reason. Truth becomes what everything else is filtered through. We're so sensual. Everything that we see, feel, hear, it becomes the truth. When God says, none of that's truth. What I speak to you and what I speak to you only is truth. And let everything else filter through that. Truth, when you ask for truth, it changes your reason, your understanding. So we become enemies to law, and we become enemies to human reasoning. Isn't there a promise that the world's going to hate you? Well, it'll hate you too if everything I said you called a lie. And yet, here we are. Teacher, we caught this lady in adultery. No, you're the ones really in adultery. Ooh, gotta go. You know what? I went over to hear Jesus in that church, He's nuts. I just don't like the way he teaches. There's something about him. Yeah? Truth. Pulled your pants down in front of everybody. That's what you didn't like. So you got out of town. Verse 52. Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Now that we know that you have a demon." Why? Because you said you'd never see death. And only demons never see death. Wonder who they really were worshiping. Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets are dead. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death." Let me tell you something. Truth will separate the believer from the unbeliever in a second. Because what happens is truth challenges your knowledge. Why do you think it's so hard for some of the higher echelon in science and in education to accept Jesus? Because they have to admit that everything they know is worthless. And they've spent their life knowing it. 53. "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead?" "Well, yeah, I'm alive." Pretty easy to answer. "And the prophets are dead. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God." You say we have the same God. You dishonor me, my Father honors me. Where does that put you? Now that's the way he said it. This is one of these catch-22s again. This guy's supposed to be serving God and honoring God. And they're dishonoring another child of God. He knows he's got them. The minute he says this, he knows he's got them. Z, the one y'all been looking for. Truth will not exalt you. Truth will exalt God. Verse 55. "Yet you have not known him, but I know him. If I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you." Whew. "But I do know him, and I do keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad." So you can be like God, you can be like Abraham, you can be like me, but you better stop being like you are. Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" It's kind of like Richard saying, I saw that. I'm learning to believe Richard when he says that. Because the truth will get you beyond what you know. Truth causes you to see things that others refuse to see. 58. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I..." Now, for a little clarity, anytime you see the phrase "I am" is a 9999, that means it was put in there for clarification. God never said "I am," He said "I." And that was enough. "I was from everlasting for everlasting. I was from beginning to end." "Am" is a point of reference. God does not have a point of reference. He's beyond calendar. He's beyond verbiage. He's beyond adjective, noun. He's beyond past, present, or future. That's why he didn't say "am," because that means now. And now is a point of reference in past, present, and future. "I" is not. He said "I." "I say to you before Abraham, I." See, in their language, that was a huge word. You think he was insulting before then? Before this? This, what he says right here doesn't hold a candle. I mean, it's so huge the other doesn't hold a candle to what's been said. He took their rug and jerked it out from their head, knocked against the concrete, and they're going... Rrr. That's what he did right here. And then he took up stones. Then they took up stones to throw at him. You don't think truth protects? You listen to this. "But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." He was in the center of the ring. How did he hide himself? Listen to this. going through the middle of them and so passed by. He went right through the center of everything and they didn't see it. He didn't say he went around the outside. He said he went through the midst of them. That's the middle of them. Chuckled. Truth gives you supernatural ability and protection. What does no truth give you? Nothing. You just get out there in your own smarts and they'll stone you. You do it in God's truth, you'll go right through the middle of them and there's no danger. Give me 2 minutes to do the review now. Number one, God only is truth. Not your newspaper, not your TV, not sight, not feelings, not emotions. I sat there with Jim the other day, watching the same TV in the same room, same atmosphere, same voice. I heard the TV, the newsman came on, and he said they've found the two guys, they're charging them, and they're looking for the guy that owns the car. That was it. You guys came in, and the story came out. They were going to arrest him because he prepared the car. He made that hole in the trunk so he could shoot out the back. And I'm going, where in the thunder did that come from? But he never heard that. You remember what I told you? Don't trust your heart. It's desperately wicked. Why? Because it will lead you out of truth. You can't even report the news accurately if you're not tied real close to God. The normal things won't even come out right. Not your sight, not your feelings, not your emotions. Two, truth can only be obtained from a constant and close relationship to truth or to the Word or to God, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Science won't do it. Signs and wonders won't do it. And by all means, your beliefs and your persuasions won't do it. Three, truth will cause changes and decisions. Not voting, not politicking, not teachings, not science theories, meditation or chemicals. None of those will give you truth, and none of them will give you relief from the truth. The truth is after you, biting you on the you-know-what, trying to set you free all of your life. You might as well just sit out and let it have its way. Four, truth will increase faith in God. It will not increase faith in yourself, and it will not increase faith in others. It'll only create faith in God. Five, last one. Truth is the only source of freedom, protection, and deliverance. Not your education, not your job, not your money, not your savings account, not your retirement fund, not your self-worth, and not by the power of your mind. This is not mind over matter. This is truth, and nothing else matters. John 8:32. This is a threat. Do you know that God threatens you? Let me tell you a threat. You shall know the truth. God via the Holy Spirit threatens you every moment of every day. You shall know the truth. And if you reside in that truth, it will set you free. Amen? Why don't you be like Christ? When you're standing in the midst of a child in trouble, when you're standing in the midst of a business in trouble, when you're standing in the midst of an unsure future, you better know that God is trying to tell you the truth. He's trying to tell you the truth. And then He's trying to tell somebody else the truth through you. And maybe He's trying to tell you the truth through someone else. But you better know that the threat of God, God doesn't just loosely threat. He backs up, He says, you will know the truth. Does that scare you? It should a little. Not really scare. But it should make you go, what's next? You shall know the truth, and that truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and that truth will make them free. Come on. You need any bigger promise than that from the Word? Y'all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, to change thee. To change but not change. Does everybody here know the truth? You know Him intimately? You know Him well enough that no matter when you call, He answers? Are you so distant that He looks at the caller ID and says, I don't want to talk to Him. He don't listen anyway. Don't act like you don't know what I mean by that. You do it too. Come on. You know who I hate to talk to the most? Somebody that doesn't listen. You know who I love to talk to the most? People that listen. I wonder if God is not about 1,000 times more that way than I am. And I promise you, if you call me, and you call me, and you call me, and you don't listen to anything I say, I'm going to quit answering. I'm just going to quit answering. Are you open to the call of God? Is God open to your call? Has His experience been with you that He has to clean up your mess? He listens to you blurt out your own statements and your own words, and then He has to clean up your mess. Or is He used to you doodling just long enough to hear Him? There's where most of us are, right there. That we just open up and let it rip. And then we expect God to clean up the mess. We say things according to our emotions and our feelings. And then we say, wow, I heard from God. And God's going, how'd I get on this? You didn't call me. You didn't talk to me about this. One of these days I'm going to preach about the Trinity, the LLP. Limited liability. He's not taking everything that we pin on Him. Heart's clear? Anybody check with God before you answered me? Heart's clear? I'm telling you, if I could ever teach myself and yourself anything, just hesitate before you answer. Do what Jesus did. Just hesitate long enough to make sure He had some input in it. Amen? Nothing could be more healthy. Nothing could be more profitable. And nothing could be more powerful. Hallelujah. Where do you think I get these messages from? Where do you think I get these from? Where do you think the outlines come from? Where do you think the A, B, C, D's come from? You think I'm a great speech writer? You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. You think... I'm not going to the computer and getting them. I seek God. I tell you, God had me doing something the other night, not last night, but night before, that I've never done before. I was just with my jaw set in the middle of the night, seeking for the face of God. I didn't even know why. But I could literally see visions of His face because I want to see You. Now, you know what's going to happen? Truth is going to come. Can't see God. Remember the gentleman that said I got to turn my back. He was advised to turn his back. Why? Not quite ready to see the truth. I'm going to write some stuff here, and I don't know if you're ready for it or not. And he wasn't. He took something, a writing from the hand of God, and broke it. That's called breaking the Ten Commandments. You don't understand. Take something that was given to you personally by the hand of God, and you throw it down like it's nothing. If you want to hear from God, you seek Him. And then don't throw it down. Don't let it drop. Don't forget it. You write it on the wall. You write it wherever it needs to be. And you don't let it go. And I'm telling you, then you won't have any more trouble with your children, your grandchildren, because you will have the answers. You'll have them. Bill came to me that one time. Nothing taught me any more than this, Bill. You came to me that time with your son, the problem. And I remember while you're talking, he's still talking. I quit listening. I mean, I'm hearing. Don't hear me wrong. But I'm going, oh, God. I don't have any experience here. I don't know what to tell him. You need to give me something to tell him. And God did, right? God did. Why? Because I went, walked right out of my experience and into the everlasting experience. Jesus never had a woman brought with adultery or caught in adultery to him before, and yet he had a brilliant answer. Where did it come from? It tells you where it came from. He asked God. Got a question? Men are not guilty of adultery, just women. No, truthfully, he was a better runner than she was. No. Yes. Yes. Now you want me to tell you what I think, what went wrong? I think the one they caught him with was a nice Jew, Sadducee, Pharisee. That's what I think. So, and you know, you can't accuse each other because the same scripture goes that who has not sinned cast the first stone. So we'll just keep it on our hats. It's all right for men anyway. It's just natural with men. It's just natural. Can't be sin when it's just natural, right? And the truth of the matter is, if you don't like that law, they rewrote another one anyway. And that's what they eventually did. And we can study that some other time. But truth of the matter, Jerry wants us to pray for her. And what else? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Jerry, you want to come down? You might want to pray with her? Well, maybe I should have said that anybody want to lay hands on her. I know the whole church will agree for sure. I wish y'all would lay hands on her, Bill. I'm not opposed to that at all, but I feel somewhat restricted when I do that. I want to pray. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. And here's what I thank you for. I thank you that in me, every individual that's ever been born, which includes Jerry, that the breathing process that you created was pure and holy. And it's not right for it to be touched by the enemy because you created it. It can never be recreated. It can never be healed except by you. I give you thanks, Lord, that you said that you knew about this before she could ever ask. That you knew about it before we could ever pray, but we're still to bring it to you. And so we, the family of Jerry, the people that love her, will take time to pray and believe with her. But how much more does the Father who created her and calls her a daughter would say, be healed in Jesus' name. So much so that he paid Jesus for this very thing. The fee for the supernatural restoration was Jesus, the bruises and the stripes. So now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, we say you be healed from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Nothing left unturned. No stone left unturned. The truth will touch her. She will know the truth. And part of that is she will be healed by knowing it in Jesus' name. Her faith is built now because she knows the outcome. She knows the outcome in Jesus' name. We agree with your word. We agree with Jesus and his stripes. We agree that she is healed. And we agree that it is finished in Jesus' name, and we will be faithful to give you the honor and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. What else? Who else? Do we need a name, or we just need to pray? I don't mean the name of the child. I mean what we're praying about. And if you don't need to say it, well, don't say it. We'll pray anyway. But well, I know who he was created like. He's created like God with that mind. And anything that would seek to control that mind, we have been given the privilege of breaking that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Here's what I want to tell him. Can I tell you something? Will you let me? I want to tell you that pleasing God is more important than anything else. Jesus. Pleasing God is more important than anything else. I happen to be speaking the truth, so there's nothing that can resist it. God loves you. You don't have to prove anything to Him. God loves you. You don't have to prove anything to Him. You can't ignore the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we say that by the power of God, in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against you, no weapon formed against this family will ever prosper.
Yes. Amen.
And we're going to take dominion here, in Jesus' name. There's an enemy that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. All of us. All of us. And our ability to love God is more important to this boy than anything else we can do. So, Father, we speak now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We take dominion over this spirit that's trying to control and kill. We rebel against the rebellion. We come against it with everything that's in us, and then we come against it in Jesus' name. And we speak a revelation to this boy through a visitation from God that will change his life forever, and that he will begin to understand how that rebellion can hurt him, but obedience will give him place. Will give him special place in the family. We don't know how. We just know it to be done. And we... We say to him, Jesus. You said when we need salvation, we cry out, Jesus. We need it for us. We need it for him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus' name. And we apply the blood now. We apply the blood. We apply the word. And we say it is finished. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Faith is knowing the outcome. If you prayed in faith and spoke in faith, you already know the outcome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All hearts clear? Come on, we're only here to change your world. You're only here to change the world. Praise the Lord. All right. If we're clear, then let's seal. Father, we do this in Jesus' name. We seal the word that's been spoken. We seal the word that's been prayed. We seal the faith. We seal the things that have been believed for. We know that the life has changed. We know that all lives are changed because our time together. I ask you, Lord, to build this church. You said that those that built in vain. So we depend on you to build. We depend on you to draw people to the truth. And then we depend on you to set them free. Let the truth be established as a seed in hearts to bring forth a truth harvest like it's never been seen before. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Be dismissed.